Simple question. Do you believe? That's not a rhetorical question. I mean it. Like, do you believe? Well, even 8 a.m. in their sleepiness, we're able to, some people were able to say, yeah, sort of, you know, kind of. This idea of belief, though, I think, is one of those that often we get confused because there are a number of different ways to sort of hear it. I mean, for example, I ask myself this question every year in August. There's a certain team that wears purple all the time, right? And in that August, I'm like, do I believe? And the answer is always, yes. And then I watch their defense and missed field goals and opportunities. And the belief sort of falls and goes away, right? But we can be quick to judge the sort of sports analogy. Now, on the one hand, I'm very clear, right? Like, there is more at stake when I say, do you believe in the God sense, right? I'm not saying that believing in sports is anywhere near on par to this belief in God. But I think the analogy is helpful. Because there are moments in which we have learned to sort of recognize the joys and sort of the things that provide us moments of belief. Like an amazing catch on sort of like the 20-yard line, give or take a few yards, like in the last minutes of a great playoff game, only to watch them lose that chance in the next game, right? We've become very aware, we've been conditioned, as it were, to understand that belief sort of has these waxing and waning moments. And our first reading actually could set us up for this dichotomy where, like, either you believe or you don't, right? Either it's an all-in or no. Because even in today's first reading, it's sort of like, if you believe you are like this awesome tree that bears fruit, even though, like, it's super hot out, this is a paraphrase, or maybe, you know, like, if you don't believe you're that barren bush in the desert, right? Sort of the deserted bush in the desert. And the reality is, if we're not careful and we don't pay attention to what the prophet is trying to tell us, we sort of can think that belief is a zero-sum game. Either you do or you don't. I don't think that's true. In fact, I know in my own experience that isn't true. That belief isn't a zero-sum game. Belief is an orientation of our hearts. That's where belief comes into play. Belief is an orientation of our heart, knowing that even if I'm struggling or if I'm frustrated or if I'm disappointed in this thing called the church, if I'm frustrated or disappointed in how things have gone, if I'm just angry or whatever the feeling might be, that belief need not be something that I can be all in all the time. But my heart, my orientation of the heart is always such that, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust. Lord, I don't know and I can't give an answer, but I trust. That's an orientation of the heart, because there are legitimate times in our life where our belief might actually be at its lowest. When we are in sorrow, when we are struggling, our belief might either be at its lowest or at its highest. Or conversely, when we're doing really well, right? When things are just, you know, moving along and we're firing in all cylinders and we're like, yeah, I got my game on. And I was dancing there, yeah, that's okay. Right, you've got the game on and like life is feeling really good. That also might be a moment in which we have to take stock and recognize, is our belief at its highest or at its lowest? Have I fooled myself into believing that in this moment of great success that has anything to do with really my own merit? You know, that when everything is going well, have I fooled myself into thinking, hey, I've got this, I've made it happen? And thus the prophet gives us that wonderful warning, those first few lines of this reading. And if you're not paying attention, it's easy to miss it. You know, woe to the one who believes that they are their own destiny. You know, a lot of times, especially in ministry, there can be moments where I feel like the weight of the world is sort of sitting on me, all right? Or in counseling where I feel like I'm helping someone, and if I don't get it just right, if I don't say the exact right things, if I fail, and somehow the world is going to go away. And thanks be to God, I have a phenomenal spiritual director who has said this to me on a couple of occasions. You know, he says, RJ, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I got some news for you. The position of Savior of the world has been filled, but God wants to thank you for your reply. Doesn't matter. It doesn't depend on me, right? I am not the source of all grace. God is the source of all grace. And so Paul asks us in a very clear and very cutthroat way. I love the sort of the brashness of today's reading. If we don't believe, if we don't have our orientation to that heart, if we aren't oriented towards this truth, even if we're not 100% locked in, but that orientation of our heart, if our heart isn't even open to this, then what are we doing? What is all of this if our heart isn't oriented towards that possibility? And I think that's the key to understanding today's gospel, because I think you could read the gospel saying, hey, listen, if you're successful and you've been good and things have, and God has blessed you, that's somehow a negative thing and that should be all thrown away. Right? As though somehow God would say, hey, if you're doing good in life, that's not what I want. Because that's not what I'm hearing in the gospel. Again, it's an orientation to whose success is that. Right? Blessed are those who weep because they recognize that it is in their sorrow that they find God. Blessed are those who are hungry because they recognize in their thirst for righteousness and justice is where they are going to find God. And it is that same line that is used again in the gospel saying, like, if you are fooled or foolish enough to think that you are the source of your own graces, well then congratulations, your reward is right now. If you are foolish enough to think that because you have somehow food to eat, that you are the only, you know, that you are the source of that grace, congratulations, your reward is right now. If you are foolish enough to think that any of those successes that we have encountered, that and I can only count among myself, right? I know my own experience, and the truth is that any success I've ever had is because other people have succeeded before me. Because I stand on the shoulders of giants, of other priests, of other Jesuits. I stand on the success of other people in my life, people who have given to me without me even being aware of it. Right? This is about an orientation of my heart, recognizing that I have not earned the success that I might enjoy. And I think that's a challenge for us in this time and in this place, especially in this country, to recognize that the graces that we have or because people have come before us to help us in that path. The joys that we're able to have is because other people have fought on our behalf. So this becomes an issue not just of an orientation of heart, but what we do with that orientation, where we take that grace. Because ultimately, we hear that if we believe in Christ crucified, died, and risen, then Christ rises with us. This isn't a future tense. This isn't something that is going to happen. This is something that is living in us now. And therefore, the invitation is to be transformed now. And we must recognize that we don't just have an invitation to be transformed, we have a responsibility. Because look at this beautiful church, just as a small example of grace that we haven't earned. Nobody sitting in this pews today put hammer to nail to build this beautiful church. Right? Maybe some of your relatives and some of your family members did, but nobody here physically built this church. And yet, we all receive the grace of worshiping in this beautiful space. And trust me, it is a grace because I have served at ugly churches. You know? It really, it is. Like it is beautiful to be able to come in here and see just the glory of God made manifest in all of the art and the people and the community. And yet, that's still an invitation to be transformed. That's still an invitation to recognize that our orientation of belief, the sense of belief, isn't that we have all the answers. It isn't that we necessarily ascend to everything that the Catholic Church teaches and says that's helpful. But it is about an orientation of our heart. It is an orientation to saying, Lord, I trust. And what a great beginning point for all of our actions. What a great beginning point for all of the work that we do. That if we, at the very beginning of all of our days, we say, Lord, we trust. Which is then that invitation, the demand that we be transformed. Imagine our world that it would be transformed by a God because we all trust. Imagine our world in this invitation of our hearts are oriented to the one that is made manifest in our sacraments, that is made manifest in our community, that is made manifest, yes, in our very weakness. What a world of transformation and joy. So I ask you, my friends, do you believe? And be careful, because if you answer yes, the invitation is to be transformed. And what a marvelous transformation it might be indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.